Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danka, Bharati Jagdishan, Ryan Hwang. It is time now for the bigger picture.
And the ripple effects of the Russia-Ukraine crisis are being manifested in various forms, perhaps most notably in how it's affecting commodity prices. Where are we now in regard to this, Ryan?
That's right, Bharati. So if you take a look at the Bloomberg Commodity Spot Index, that is up 4.1% from yesterday. And in fact, it has more than doubled from a four-year low from 2 years ago when COVID-19 hammered markets at the early days. And now you are looking at prices for things like oil pushing seven-year highs. Now it is above $106 a barrel. And of course, many other things are rising in costs. And you've got also the sanctions playing out. So a lot of companies cutting ties with Russia, and all these issues could have implications for the economic outlook and for businesses, their earnings down the road. Now, to get a bigger picture, we've got Su Trin. She is the head of macro strategy at Manulife Investment Management. Good morning, Su. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Ryan. I'm very well, thanks. It's great to be on your show.
Hey, glad to have you on, Su. Let's talk about what's happening with the Ukraine crisis. What do you think will be the implications for growth and inflation? How do you see this play out in terms of the impact for this year's economic outlook and for maybe the earnings, the next set coming up in the next few quarters?
Sure. Well, I want to acknowledge up front that, you know, this human catastrophe that is unfolding and the migrant crisis as well, that really does overrule everything. But from a macro perspective, this particular geopolitical shock has been sufficient for us to have increased conviction in our existing call that the first half of the year would be mired in stagflationary dynamics. So what I mean by that, slower growth than is comfortable, faster inflation than is comfortable, and that would lead to increased volatility in markets and frequent bouts of risk aversion. Second point to make is that we have much lower conviction now that the second half of this year would be an easy return to a Goldilocks scenario where growth would stabilize and inflation would ease. So the risk to our base case, of course, is that stagflation spills over into the second half of this year. And the way to think about this shock is that it's a major extension of the COVID shock, the stagflationary dynamics that it ushered in. If you think about Russia's role in physical markets, it's a hugely critical exporter of things that the world needs, energy, agriculture, metals, that's only going to exacerbate the supply bottlenecks that the world has been under over the last 2 years. And I'd add to that the flight bans as well, mutual flight bans across airspace is going to add significant delay to cargo, to personal travel and costs as well.
Yeah, so a lot to really digest in terms of implications. And one of the things you've been watching out for is any surge in food and energy prices. You think there could be some winners, and among them, the biggest beneficiaries could include Singapore, Malaysia, the US, Australia and New Zealand. Why is that?
Yes, so there's lots to unpack in terms of all the potential transmission mechanisms and channels through which the spike in food and energy prices could transmit to economies. And we tried to really distill it into workable modelling and how we find that these economies that you just mentioned, relatively better placed than other economies within the Asia region, is that we looked at their respective food and energy trade balances, the extent to which they are dependent on those exports, because the more dependent you are, the more of a hit to growth likely from the spike in prices. And we also added to that or overlaid their respective ability to respond to a potential growth shock and inflation shock. And how we measure that is really a range of indicators, but really it comes down to the fiscal and monetary wherewithal. And you know, Singapore is very well placed, a very strong budget position, I would highlight there.
And so you had a recent view earlier this year that Asia is not in a rush to normalize policy. So with the backdrop of how all these cost pressures could be adding to inflation, what does this mean for central banks in terms of what they need to do? Because it does also mean potential slowdowns in the economic outlook. So there is this balancing act they have to kind of grapple with.
That's exactly right, Ryan. Central banks, and not just those in Asia, are in a real bind. The possibility of an extended stagflationary shock is a nightmare scenario for central banks. Central banks' toolkits are really geared towards addressing demand shocks. And what we have here is primarily a supply shock, first and foremost. There are second, third, fourth order effects that affect demand, of course. But how we have balanced those risks is that we would expect, particularly the Fed, that's certainly front of mind at the moment, would fall short of the very aggressive profile priced in by the money markets. If we look at what the market is pricing in for Fed rate hikes over the next year, some 150 basis points of hikes, which is very extreme to us. But I would stress that central banks are damned if they respond and damned if they don't. It's a very tricky balancing act. Emerging central banks have the added complication of also trying to preserve external stability and capital flows. I would highlight Central Bank of Russia, despite staring down the barrel of a likely depression, actually raised its rates earlier this week in response to the sanctions from 9.5% to 20%.
And so we are expecting the Fed to have a meeting later this month. Where do you sit on how the Fed will adjust to its policy position when it comes to rising cost pressures?
It's a actually very busy macro calendar right into the Fed, and I think that really plays into the risk that markets will stay very choppy into that March 17 announcement. There is still a little bit of probability priced into the market of even a 50 basis point hike at this juncture. We don't think so. We think that the Fed will play that down, and we'll get a read on that when Chairman Powell delivers or speaks later on today. And again, I would highlight that we do not expect the Fed to hike nearly as much as what is priced in. Something like 2 to 3 hikes is to be expected this year, and that may be too much.
And so, like you pointed out, it's been quite choppy for markets. And I think investors have been trying to figure out what to do in this backdrop and environment. What should investors be looking at in terms of potential growth stories or even some of the more resilient sectors to ride out the current backdrop?
Well, an extended stagflationary environment, geopolitical tensions, withdrawal of monetary and fiscal support are not exactly ingredients for a period of sustained emerging market outperformance, for instance. What is notable, though, is that when we look at foreign investor flows, we are seeing still the theme of rotation is dominant rather than broad-based risk reduction. For instance, it looks like foreign investors are seeking haven in Latin American equities. And that is to be expected given the high exposure to LATAM equities, to all those goods that are rising in price, materials, energy, staples. And we would tend to agree with that, but the risks are quite elevated, and we would recommend some caution on that front. But again, I would point to, you know, closer to our region, that the likes of Singapore, Malaysia, Australia, New Zealand are likely the biggest beneficiaries from a surge in food and energy prices.
Okay, some things to watch out for in terms of potential sectors. We're chatting with Sue Trin. She is the head of macro strategy for Manulife Investment Management. Sue, thank you so much for your time this morning, and we'll catch up again with you soon.
Thanks, Ryan.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.